Welcome to the podcast To Be Named Later, where we explore the world a conversation at a time. Sit back and enjoy. Here are your hosts, Chris and Kelly.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the podcast To Be Named Later. I am Chris, and I'm here with my co-host, Kelly. How you doing, Kelly?
Hey, Chris, I'm doing good. How about yourself?
Yeah, I'm doing good, man. Ready to talk some more. I've been all geeked out on the today was the first day I woke up, and at 7 a.m. I was disappointed. There was no soccer. And so been pretty into that, and the college bowls are out, so I've been diving into those, and I got an opinion on the matchups, but anyway, we'll get into that at some point.
Yeah, we know who's in and who's out, and championship weekend was interesting, shook it up a little bit. Why don't we start off there and talk about what's going on with college bowls? 41 bowl games, 82 teams. Not sure who's going to be playing on those 82 teams, but hey, we're going to have 41 games.
Yeah, and you know, this is we used to do a college bowl pick 'em with the family and stuff. It's kind of died out over the years, but if you look, you know, we got a game on the 16th, actually two of them, and we got games on the 17th, the 19th, the 20th, 21st, 22nd, 23rd. You know, it's just nonstop. Now, the quality of these, not so impressive, but it is football, and it will be on basically every day of the week. So that part of it is kind of cool. You always have something to follow, you know, at least if nothing else in the background. But, some of these bowls probably could get cut out, but you know, they make money, man. It's an opportunity for the kids to showcase one more time and get a swag bag, and you know, is what it is, man.
Well, the kids ought to get more than a swag bag now. I mean, if I was a college athlete, I'd be saying, hey, man, you want me to play in your Mayo Bowl or your I'm the Latest Advertiser of the Year Bowl? Show me the nil deal. Right?
Yeah, I mean, no, and that's why
some of these bowl administrators pull down salaries due to $500,000-$700,000. The guy that runs the Rose Bowl, I read, because they were the blocker to the playoffs starting earlier than 2026, and they finally signed off. But the article I read said the person who like runs the Rose Bowl makes $500,000.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
So,
he ain't mowing the lawn. I'm not sure exactly what all he's contributing, but that seems excessive.
And some of these bowls, you know, it's going to be interesting in some of them. So, you know, here I follow the Badgers, right? So they had a pretty poor year. Ended up, you know, going through the guys are on their third coach, and I got a lot of respect for the college athletes who go through that experience, but. So now they're going to play in a bowl game in Phoenix on the 27th. I forgot the name of the bowl.
The Guaranteed Rate Bowl, baby. It's a big one.
All right, man. Really, really, that's just a barn.
No disrespect to Guaranteed Rate or anything, but yeah. I mean, I think everybody knows it, man. We all have the same feeling. It's kind of like, you know, I look through these. There's 41 bowls. Obviously, the semifinal matchups are delicious, and we're really happy. I mean, we couldn't have really gone wrong there. We were going to get four good teams no matter what in those two games. And then there's a couple of other neat matchups, man. I really like Utah and Penn State. I think those are two very similar teams. That's going to be a compelling Rose Bowl for me. Alabama and K-State. You know, I don't know how many players are going to actually show up for that, but those are two good football teams. There's some mixed in there, but yeah, most of them are pretty lackluster, bud.
So the funny thing about, let's just say, and because I think it's an example here of the Wisconsin game. So the guy that coached him, either guy that coached him throughout the year, isn't going to be the head coach in the bowl game. And the starting quarterback is opting out, right? I mean, he's not opting out. He's joining the transfer portal. So I just, you know, it's just a weird thing that goes on now at the end of the college football season.
Yeah, there's been an evolution in the college game, and, you know, the NIL money and The transfer portal. You know, it's just a different age. But I will say this is one of the most compelling college football seasons that I can remember in a long time. And so if you look at it in its totality with all the different changes, you know, I would take what they put on, out there this year over what I've seen over the last 10. So, you know,
I won't disagree with that. And what I would say is I have, even with all, you know, what, more power to the players. I think most of these changes with the transfer portal, the nil money and everything else are advantageous to the players. This is one thing I do wonder about a little bit, and I just don't know it. I don't even sure how to find it out. I wonder if there are guys who have told their team that they're going into the transfer. I'm sure it's happened, but they say, hey, I'm going into the transfer portal, and then they find no place to transfer to, you know?
Yeah.
I'm sure it's happened. And I think what you're going to see is, and I, you know, on one end of the spectrum, guys who aren't getting what they want out of their college experience are much more empowered to go try and find it somewhere. The other thing, though, is on the other side, there are some guys with these NIL deals that they're probably making more in college than they would make at anything but the first round in the NFL draft.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right.
With some of these collective deals. So, amen. I mean, and the ironic thing is that if you were in pretty much any other profession and going to college, this is how life would have been all along. If you're an actor or a musician, right? You could go have a record-breaking movie, be a movie star, and still be in college, and nobody gets control over your money, or you know, have a hit record or write a software application, anything like that. Now, I get it; those things are not often done under the auspices of the college name, but let's be clear. I mean, the end result is still the same, I think. That you're doing something because you have an elite talent of some level that society has found worthy of promoting and paying, and more of the rewards should go to the person that's doing it, and I'm fine with that. But let's get back to the football for a minute, because you talked about one of the things, and the Rose Bowl is actually compelling, and wow, Utah, what a game they had.
Yeah, I mean, they're a good football team. You know, I think they showed that. You know, they're a good football team. Now, they sustained some losses over the course of the year that, you know, kept them out of a contention, you know, in, you know, for you know, championship consideration and stuff. But reality is that is a really good football team. And they're unique in the Pac-12 for the style that they play. I mean, they seem more like a Penn State, to be honest, or a Michigan or Alabama, LSU. You know, that's just the style they play. Very physical, sound football, and, you know, don't beat themselves and you know, real gritty, man. And you know, it's a good, solid football team. Not an easy win for anybody. And, yeah, I mean, they put it all over USC. So I'll say this, though, man. I mean, you know, I watching that game, Caleb Williams going down was gigantic. I mean, it later was revealed it was a hamstring. And you know, good on him. Him and Duggan from TCU both just put on, like, legendary performances as far as guts is concerned. And, both in a losing effort, actually, but once he lost his ability to run, that game started out hot fire. SC looked phenomenal, man, and when Williams was running, it just looked like, you know, there's nothing Utah can do to stop this SC offense. And then when he lost the ability to run and became stationary, it just was an entirely different game. And then, you know, credit to Utah, man. I mean, they, you know, they played their style of football.
Yeah, no, I mean, I know I kept thinking after he got, you know, got hurt, man, this guy shouldn't even be out there. He can barely defend himself sometimes from what's going on. And then to learn that he had a hamstring. But both he and, yeah, the young man from TCU, those are, you know, whatever word you want to use, gritty, courageous, inspiring. Look, I get it, it's sports, but those two guys really put their teams and their passions on their effort and really were amazing, man.
Yeah. You know, Max Duggan just literally put that TCU offense on his back. And the guy was exhausted, man, trying to watching him. You know, I mean, most of that final drive, the one that tied it, was him running. And the dude, by the time they finally got, you know, down into the end zone, the guy was just hands on his knees. Like, you could just tell he was absolutely spent. But, you know, that's what TCU does, man. It's compelling football. And we'll see, you know, Wolverines are favored, and Wolverines have looked phenomenal. You know, they're the second favorite to, you know, win the championship. And they got a really, really good football team, man. No denying it. They're solid top to bottom. Special teams, the whole nine yards, man. They could do it all. So it'll be a tall task for TCU. All I say is I wouldn't rule them out, man. I've been watching those guys play all year, and they are no pushovers. They're not afraid of anybody. I think they believe in their hearts that the Big 12 is as competitive as any of the leagues out there. And the gauntlet that they had to run getting through the Big 12 and the variety of styles that they had to play against. I think TCU is fully confident and ready, and they believe that they belong in this game, and they believe they can win it. And sometimes, man, that's all you need is the belief. And no matter what happens, I mean, short of, you know, 44-3 heading into the fourth quarter or something, you know, there's going to be no quit in TCU. They didn't have the season they had, and then all of a sudden enter the fourth quarter down 10 being scared. You know what I mean? they got to believe at this point they can come back on anybody.
So a few follow-up or just reactions to what you said. I think that I was listening to the TCU game on the radio, and the announcer said, you know, the quarterback, Max Duggan could barely even get back to the sideline after that drive. I mean, he was so tired, and I'm just thinking, you talk about giving your all. And I do think you're right, Chris, that the team has no fear. I mean, I've often said for sports, you know, unless you are so much better than everybody else, if you haven't faced adversity, and you see this a lot, you see it in Super Bowls, you see it in the championship games, you better have had some experience facing adversity to know that it's not the end of the world when it happens in the game. And on that point, I think that TCU, I mean, their whole season has been a getting a PhD in that very behavior. I'm not convinced. I said this to some degree off the air too, but I'll say it again. I think they can play winning football. I think they're playing good football, but I don't know that they are able to play championship football against a team at the level that they are. I could also be 100% wrong. What's Vegas saying on that game right now, if you know?
It's actually dropped. It's at 6.5 currently. Actually, this one's saying 7.5 now. It opened, I believe, at 8.5. I saw it at 6.5. And, you know, maybe that was some offshoot as I was scrolling through, you know, the Googles and stuff. But right now, CBS has it at 7.5, which is about right, man. Michigan should be about a touchdown favorite. Probably the touchdown and the hook. You know, most people would think that they're the better team. If these two teams played 10 times, I think Michigan wins 6 easy and possibly even 7 of them. But they're not going to play 10 times. They're going to play once. And that's kind of my thinking is you know, the tough thing for TCU to actually win a championship is they're going to have to do this twice. So I don't care who they play. If somehow Ohio State upsets Georgia, which is also not impossible, if anyone's going in with a chip on their shoulder or maybe not a chip on your shoulder is not the right word or phrase, but, you know, a certain amount of attitude, I think it'd be Ohio State. And, you know, but even if TCU does somehow get past Michigan, they're going to face another Michigan immediately to follow. And I don't know if they could do it twice, man. You know, that's the one thing that might be tough for them.
I think the thing, I'd say this, if it just seems to me that, so Michigan's not a perfect team and they've got flaws, but I think as the season has progressed, they have put, they've become a better team. Most teams do, but I think they are really finding themselves. And so I just am concerned for TCU's sake that can the, we win it in the fourth quarter, you know, all hands on deck kind of mentality that's gotten them to where they are and honestly causes them to play what I find to be incredibly entertaining football. How will that stack up against a team that is really gelled and kind of is just at another level? But, I mean, that's why you play the game. And like we talked about the other day, man, all these teams take so long off that who knows? If Michigan takes a quarter to warm up, maybe that doesn't allow that, you know, finely honed machine that I think they're starting to become to run long enough that they TCU can keep it close. I think overall we're getting a good playoff, so I'm pretty excited about that. I think that even with what I said about TCU, I think that any one of the four teams has a legitimate chance to win.
Absolutely, and I think, you know, TCU's road's going to be the roughest. You know, Georgia kind of got hosed in this, to be honest with you, man. So, I mean, they get to play, in Atlanta. So, you know, it's going to be a bona fide home game for them. Ohio State travels really well, but, that's going to be a pretty heavy Bulldog Stadium, I think. And then, but you know, if they were going to have their choice of people to play, I think, actually, Ohio State might have been their last choice, actually, so because of their ability to throw the ball.
Because Ohio State can throw the ball better than the other two teams, and I think that, you know, in a world where one's supposed to play four, I don't know that it's right. I mean, hey, I get it. That's how it lined up. But they got the raw end of the stick. In that, you know, they should really be playing TCU, and then that first round should be a rematch of Michigan and Ohio State, I think would be fairer to Georgia if being number one is supposed to give you some level of an advantage.
Yeah, bottom line, if Ohio State and TCU played on a neutral field, Ohio State would be a heavy favorite. They would be a touchdown and a hook favorite. So, you know, by those rights, I think most of us who follow college football would say that Ohio State is the better overall football team, and Georgia has to face that team. So, but no matter what, you got to beat two people anyway. So, you know, now you're facing Ohio State in the semis, but you may have just had to face Ohio State in the finals anyway. So, you know, whatever, man. You got two games to win. Georgia's the best team of the four. So, you know, go win as the favorite two times in a row, and you're back-to-back national champions, you know, and so that's the task that's laid out for them. I do think they got it right. I'm happy with these four. I understand some of the – there's always going to be someone who feels snubbed. It's like that, you know, every year in when we go to March Madness, it's, you know, anytime you have subjective judging determining the playoff field – there's always going to be some room for, like, well, you know, what about this team? What about that team? You know, I understand why Alabama might be upset, but you know what, dude? Tough break. I think...
yeah, well, Alabama might be upset, but Alabama should just get off my lawn, Nick Saban in particular, because for a leader of a team of, and I got no beef with Alabama winning as much as they do, anything like that. I mean, they've built a program, and Nick Saban, you know, gets people to go there. So it's, I got no beef against Nick Saban in general, but I do from the way he reacted this year. I mean, Fox gave him a 20-minute interview to make his case why Alabama should be in the playoff. And, I don't think he should have been given that platform, but I get it. They're trying to just sell ratings. And, B, his arguments don't hold water with me because basically what he said is, hey, man, yeah, we didn't perform in the middle of the year. We had guys hurt, but, you know, at the end we are, and we, you know, Vegas would say that we should be there. I could probably make that case for other teams that, you know, stubbed their toe a little bit in the middle of the year. And I guess I just feel as a leader of, you know, the sport, I would have much rather him, and I get it, and, you know, he's probably not going to say what I think he should say, which is, hey, I think the committee did a fine job, and we just weren't quite there this year. I mean, there's a reason he gets $11 million a year to coach a football team, and probably part of it is to think that they always should be in the championship, not my Kelly Ford version of do the right thing for the league, but I just, like I said, man, get off my lawn, dude, and just go to next year.
Well, Utah could make that same argument like you were saying, man. Yeah, they stubbed their toe. You know, they're playing phenomenal football right now, too. So I just, at the end of the day, I think they got it right, man. I like these four teams. There's an argument there. All these four teams are deserving. This is just another case for expanding the playoffs. And you know, we'll get there eventually. We're working our way towards a better place, and then pretty soon, you know, team 13, 14, and 15 can lodge their complaints of why they didn't make it. You know, and that'll be the case when that happens. Is you know, there'll be three or four teams that feel like, hey, man, we're just as good as those guys. How come they get in? And it'll always be that way. But end of the day, man, the team that wins these two games will be deserving.
Yeah, I actually think that I think you said this way earlier, this is one of the better, group of four that we have going into this system, and legitimately whoever wins it, you know, they can stand tall and proud and say, you know, we not only conquered the regular season, but we conquered this playoff, and more power to them. Just want to make a couple other points because you've mentioned Utah a couple times. So three things really quick. One, I wouldn't want to play that team right now just based on how I saw them playing against USC. Two, it's really going to be interesting, though, with what's going to happen with the change in coaches in Colorado. What's that going to do to the Pac-12, and how's Deion Sanders going to change the world there? And what's, is Colorado going to come back? And then
I think they will.
Yeah, and so I think that really is going to light it up.
Yeah, and then SC and UCLA will be gone, and I think Deion absolutely. Everyone who passed on Deion, I think, made a mistake. I love it, dude. You know, he's all over. And I just think it's awesome. I love the upfront approach and just laying it out. Long as you're doing it within the rules, I'd rather just like call it like it is, man. Like kind of like the NIL money, man. It's just like, hey, dude, these kids are earning it. Let's just open it up, man. Let's just call it what it is. And Deion's doing that, man. It just like come to Colorado, enter the portal, come play with me, There, he took a little grief about some of the Colorado players that are there. I don't remember. I didn't see exactly a direct quote, you know, verbatim, but kind of paraphrasing. He's like, hey, man, you know, if you don't want to be here, go ahead and leave, because there's make room for some new people, because they'll be coming. And
he did say something like that. I don't have, hey man, guess what? If you want the openness and freedom, well, guess what? That's the deal you made. And that's, you know, all I think what he basically said. I mean, yeah, and he's a bit of a showman. I mean, he always has been.
You don't get the name Primetime for nothing.
But I'll give the guy credit, man. Dude backed it up with his play. If you're going to, you know, be there, I mean, he's not going there because, you know, that's who he is. And that's what they want to inspire their program. I think we've talked about this before. Clearly, I mean, he finds ways to get people with talent. I don't know a lot about his coaching staff, but clearly he puts himself with a good coaching staff and things around him. That is ultimately, you know, kind of what a head coach is supposed to do. So we'll see how it goes. I think that it's interesting. Will be good for college football overall. I think the Pac-12 should be happy to have them there. You know, get him a little more coverage, news. I mean, you know, at least for a couple of years, as long as he's delivering to any degree, the guy brings media to what he's doing, and he's certainly going to do that in the Pac-12. And anything that will get West Coast football more promotion, you know, within the rules and all the other obvious caveats, I think is good for the sport, because I said many times, just the clock makes a bias towards East Coast and Central football, and there's a lot of good football going on the West Coast.
Yeah, speaking of that clock, man, just to jump in for 1 second. So we talked about this, man. So East Coast, where is that? Right here, 8 p.m. The Georgia Ohio State game kicks off on New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
What the hell?
I don't even know what to say. I mean, get real.
So that game's ending at 11. If you want people to watch your post game, you know, blah blah blah. Like, you know, who's going to their New Year's Eve party? You know, unless it's at your house, you know, you're just really limiting people, man. Please get rid. Stop this, man. Pick a different day. Any other day, people will watch. Just pick a different day, man.
Yeah, I love college football. I find it really entertaining. I haven't totally decided what my New Year's Eve plans are, but I'll be honest, it probably will not be watching the full Georgia-Ohio State game, just because it's New Year's Eve, man.
Yeah, we'll see. I don't know what my plans are either, and we'll see what develops. But yeah,
but
just frustrating.
If
shouldn't put me in a spot. We talked about this before.
Speaking of putting on the spot, I guess I am kind of putting myself on the spot of being low man in our little football competition. I got, 5 weeks left and dug myself an even deeper hole, I think. Where are we?
Yeah, you're going the wrong way still, Kelly. So you were down 7. Now you're down 9. I mean, it's getting ugly, buddy. You're
Yeah, so that was hot dogs and sodas at Costco, right? hot dogs at Costco are $1.50, man. And you think that includes a soda. All right, I can get 2 of those.
I'm going somewhere that where they take the little brush, and when I drop a crumb, someone runs over and cleans it up for me. You know, I want one of those spots.
Yeah, I'm struggling, but hey, hope springs eternal. I got some.
Hey, but on a positive note, look at you making a run in the fantasy, buddy. I got to give you your props, brother. You're on a heater.
I'm on a hot streak, 3 in a row.
And not mathematically eliminated, which is
no way,
I would have never thought at this point. With 2 weeks to go, you are in your, they're saying sniffing around now. So with 2 weeks to go, you're sniffing around. That fourth playoff spot it's open. You were a long shot though, but it's there. You're not mathematically eliminated.
It's kind of like the Green Bay Packers. I think they still got a 4% chance.
Yeah, you are basically the Green Bay Packers. You know, I sent a screenshot of to my buddy. I was poking around the Super Bowl odds to win the Super Bowl, you know, and the place I was looking had the teams listed in order of the preseason rankings, you know. So the odds are 30-40 when you look at it, man. The you know, there's a little bit of movement, right? So I got the screenshot right here. The Chiefs are on top currently at 5-1. The Bills are just below them at plus 375. And then you got the Los Angeles Rams currently at 300-1. And then you got the Bengals, the Niners, the Cowboys. All were preseason, like should be pretty good. And they've moved a little bit, right? Might have been 10-1 before. Now they're 8-1. You know, might have been 6-1. Now they're 10-1. Things like that. So it goes Chiefs, Bills, no strength, nothing there. They're both going to be playoff teams. The Rams have jumped from what probably was about 5-1 to currently 300-1. And then you go through the Bengals, Niners, and Cowboys. And then you get to the Packers, who were probably about 14-1 to start this season. And they're sitting at 250-1. And then right after them is the Broncos at currently 300-1. So a couple of these numbers really jump out as like, wow, you're not as good as we thought you were going to be. Packers are definitely in that conversation.
You know, a few things really jump out on some of those teams, though, Chris. Last couple weeks, you and I have both talked about the 49ers and, you know, how we really liked them and how they were putting it together. And now Jimmy G goes down for the year. What a tough break that is.
Potentially, yeah, but that's not how they're built, though. You know, if you lose Joe Burrow, devastating. You know, if you lose Patrick Mahomes or Josh Allen, the teams are built around their abilities to do what they do. The 49ers are not. So, obviously, a blow. Absolutely. You lose your starting quarterback, a guy who's familiar with the system, has led that team deep before. You know, for sure, you're not better without him. I've heard some people on the radio today talking about them being better. You're wrong. You're not better without him. But the team's not built around him either. So they do not need him to be successful in the playoffs. They need to bring their defense and their running game and some timely passing. And, you know, everything's still in place for that to happen. They just need Purdy to, you know, step up, man. You're the next man up. Here's a chance to make a name for yourself and a whole boatload of money, brother. So we have a championship caliber team around you. Just don't mess it up. Plenty of teams, the 2000 Ravens, the Buccaneers, the, you know, there's teams that have gone. I mean, hell, the Denver Broncos under Peyton Manning, who threw for $121 in that game or whatever, right? You don't have to have a all-star quarterback to win a Super Bowl. And the 49ers are built in such a way, I think they can win still, even with that loss.
I don't think it's a knockout blow by any stretch. I think that I think it's just tough. I think that it is as much of an emotional loss for the team as a physical talent loss. Because, again, just from what I read, I don't know the people, but everything I read, I think that he is really a player favorite. And I think he just brings a lot of emotional passion to the team. So I think on that regard, but on the physical football side, right, as long as you got someone that can do the basic mechanics, which if you're getting paid NFL salary, you better be able to, right? His job is to get the ball to the people that are actually going to do the things. Unlike quarterbacks like Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrow, Josh Allen, where their skills are part of the offense moving. And that's not to say, again, people aren't just replaceable, but some are more replaceable because of what they do. I still think it's just tough for them. Another one, I'm going to keep talking about this till we see what happens, but Denver, there's no way they thought this is where they'd be. And the Rams, both of those, I think, are just huge unexpected disappointments for big parts of the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about this a bunch, man. I mean, they're just, you know, at this point, we're pretty late in the season to think they're going to snap out of it. This is just who they are, and the Broncos are garbage. Russell Wilson is garbage. So he's a liability, man. I mean, you could do better with almost anybody. So, I mean, he's just not good.
So what's your opinion? Is he done, or is it a one-year thing?
I don't know, man. I mean, money plays a factor. I mean, I can tell you, you would be better off. I just don't know the money. You know, I don't know $250 million-ish, right? So, but they're going to have a nice pick. Oh, actually, no, I take that back. I don't think they will have a nice pick, come to think of it. I think Seattle's going to get a nice pick. Thanks, Denver. Man, I got to look that up real quick, Kelly. Here, give me a second, buddy. Get something else off your mind while I look this up, because I'm really curious about this. I do know of the right now, currently, I saw this just the other day, of the top six picks, I think three of them don't belong to the team who earned it.
It makes me wonder. I mean, I get it. All these people that buy NFL teams, right? They got money like unbelievable. But you got to wonder for the group that bought the Broncos. You can't tell me that there hasn't been a few conversations. Wow, we spent all this money and this is what we have.
Yeah, right now, I got the top 10 for you. Right now, as it sits with current records, Houston Texans would have the first overall pick. I think they're going to hold on to that. And then the Chicago Bears would have the second. There's chance for movement there, though. I actually don't think they're a bad football team. But, you know, they'll probably stay in the top 10, but I don't know if they'll get number two overall. But then this is where it gets interesting. Number three, currently, I think currently they're just out of the playoffs, is the Seattle Seahawks. Where's wild card? Oh, no, currently they're the last spot in. I'm sorry, that tie the Commanders had. So currently they're a playoff team picking third overall. Thank you very much, Denver Broncos. And then the Detroit Lions, who I think most of us think are pretty solid, man. They're not that far away, really, man. They're a compelling team. They're competitive. They need some help on defense, like big-time help on defense. But they're not terrible, and they're getting that pick from the Rams.
So pause right there on the Lions, man. Not terrible indeed. They're favored over the Vikings this week.
This is mind-blowing to me, and the line has moved. And so I had to take a double check because I was like, oh, dude, it must be – his cousin's hurt. And so I went looking for injury reports, and I don't get it. I mean, I like the Lions. Okay, I know they're competitive, and I think it should be a really good football game. You know, it's in Detroit, and I don't think the Vikings are quite as good as their record, and I know the Lions are not as bad as their record. So I'm not surprised that, you know, it's a close line. But the line opened at Lions minus one, and it's currently Lions minus 2.5. I mean, this is just kind of – I mean, the Vikings are better than the Lions are, man.
I said early on in our preseason, and my opinion hasn't changed. You know, I maybe leaned a little bit. I thought that their coach for Detroit was building a program that could lead to some goodness. And I still think that, and they're starting to show it, but that one just surprises me. I do think Minnesota's not as good as their record, you know, but there is that old quote that bounces around in NFL circles of, you are what your record says you are. So we'll see.
Yeah, old Bill Parcells saying, Lions trade to the Rams. I think the Rams made a deal with the devil. They knew exactly what they were doing. They were trying to buy a Super Bowl, and they did it. And now it's time to pay the piper. You know, you had big money players, big contracts. You mortgaged the future for the sake of winning a Super Bowl. You accomplished your goal. And I don't, you know, I think all parties are just like, that's cool, man. That's what we wanted to do. You know, Lions wanted to get picks and build for potential Super Bowl 3 to 5 years down the road. The Rams wanted to win one now. And both teams are doing what they wanted. You know, the Rams have already done their thing, and the Lions are working towards their goal, right? So they had a little more of a long game in playing. But the one that well, there's two of them, really. But the Seahawks and the Denver one is Denver got hosed, and now they're stuck with this contract. They don't have their pick, and they got a guy who's terrible. And it's like, holy cow, this is pretty one-sided.
The Denver one is the kind of trade that could live in NFL legends for a long time, right?
Yeah, they're going to be buried. They're going to be buried in that trade for 5 years.
You know, I mean, the repercussions can last even longer for franchises. Speaking of repercussions, there's been a trend in football a little bit that, you know, I'm curious what your take is, or just describe to people a little bit about this. And what I'm talking about when I say repercussions is it's kind of a play. I don't even know what they'd call it. It's more like just everybody push a dude.
The scrum. And, yeah, the push them scrum. Know,
so what you know, back when we were first starting out, you tell me how you line up for that one, buddy, and what's that all about?
Well, actually, they do line up for that in some cases now, but generally it's a on the moment, spur of the moment, you know, a play that evolves. And but honestly, man, there's you go back to the famous Reggie Bush push. And against Notre Dame, shoving Leinart in. We talked about this, I think. And that was illegal when that happened, although it wasn't called on that particular play. That was something that was not permitted by the rules. And currently, the way the rules are written, you can push a guy, you just can't pull a guy, right? So, and you can't carry somebody. You know, a 350-pounder can't put, running back on his back and carrying him into the end zone. You're not allowed to use somebody else's body to propel yourself. So you you can't put a dude down on his hands and knees on the ground, snap the ball in the shotgun and then run and jump off his back over the pile or something, right? So there's some limitations, but the push is allowed. And I think we may differ on this, Kelly, but I absolutely love it. It's one of my favorite plays in all of football, and I can't believe that while it's available, more teams don't take advantage of that. I don't understand why you don't put, your biggest, baddest defensive lineman at fullback and have him basically like shove the pile from behind on goal to go situations. You know, I don't get why you're not kind of like the same concept as the Deion Sanders and just be blatant. You know, hey man, this is how the rules are written. You said this is okay. So, my nose tackle is currently going to go play fullback. And, and I don't care. Put your tail, if you don't want to hurt your career quarterback, put your tailback under center. And, you know, give it to A.J. Dillon and, let Kenny Clark play fullback and snap the ball and just rugby scrum it, baby. And, we had talked about this last week sometime off air. And so I was curious. I went and kind of did a little search, YouTube search, and watched some videos of some
Chris
of the best.
Chris actually did some homework.
Yeah, and dude, those videos were awesome, man. I was having so much fun. I mean, I watched a few of them. There was a lot of overlap, from video to video. They were showing the same plays, and there was one. I tried to find it again. I was going to try and play it for you, but I just can't seem to find it again. I wish I had saved it. I guess I'm not very good at my homework, but I do know it was the Baylor Bears.
You didn't say the dog ate it,
and. The dude, first contact was at like the 20 and a half. Okay. So, they're just outside of the red zone. Ball was snapped, like say the 22. He makes first contact kind of, a yard past the line of scrimmage right around the 20. And then, everyone jumps on board. He keeps his feet underneath him. And all the offensive linemen get on one side of him, and all the defensive players get on the other side of him. And the pile went 21 yards to the end zone for a touchdown. And it was just – I just replayed it over and over, and I was just like, oh, my God, this is amazing. I love this. And there's a bunch of them, and it's just a cool thing to see, man. When you see, generally they'll be – it won't be the whole team – but you know, it might be five or six dudes on each side of a human, and humans carrying the ball, and he just has to somehow stay on his feet, which is a challenge in itself with all the other feet around him, right? But as long as his feet stay underneath him and no knees hit the ground or no elbows, as long as he's not down, and the referees have been great about letting that play to a point, okay? So when it becomes a stalemate, I mean, there's a human in the center there. We should probably take his, you know, life into consideration here. But, you know, as long as it's not a complete stalemate, then they let it go, man. Let's see, you know, and more and more guys will kind of pile in there and start shoving. And I like it, man. I think it's great. I think it's a great addition to football. As far as I know, to this point, from what I've seen, nobody's been hurt in one of these. You know, because you got to think it's not the big collisions. The collisions are where people sustain major injury, especially to the head. And, you know, that's where there's great distances in between two people. And then they collide, right? And that impact, the force of that, because of the speed at which they're moving, the velocity of it, the velocity component of the impact of the force is so high, it kind of multiplies it all. But these ones they don't have those impacts. You know, it's more like wrestling, and it's pretty cool, man. I like it. What's your feelings on it, Kelly?
Hey man, you know, I'm all for it. I told you when we talked about this one other time, I've been the living recipient of this very play.
Yeah, the bulldog, right?
Bulldog. You can ask any of our brothers, my brothers, your uncles, man, growing up. So, right. There was eight boys in the family and, you know, other neighborhood people, whoever. I'm one of the younger ones, second youngest. And if you wanted to play football with the big boys, you did what they said. And since I don't see, you know, my wide receiver skills weren't too good. So I was kind of given a couple of choices. You can be the center. Good luck with that. You're going to get knocked down. Or they all devised this other lovely play that they called the bulldog. Hey, we'll give Kelly the ball, and these three will push this way, and these three will push the other way, and you're in the middle, so good luck. I'm going to put it this way. Might not be a collision, but you get stretched, and I ain't no Stretch Armstrong, I'll say that.
Yeah. Well, we both played tailback, bro. So play design sounds like they were a little bit different, but you know, one thing we got in common.
A few Monday mornings I woke up a little sore, but you know what? It was all good fun and lots of memories. Wanted to switch gears one more time because you mentioned one other thing, Chris, and you know soccer, at least till this weekend. U.S. made it to the round of 16. And then checked out again. And that's not a criticism of the team. I mean, this is like the best of the best all across the globe.
Hey, I'm proud of the U.S., man. I think they played to the best of their ability, and that's all I'll ever ask of anybody. You know, do the best you can. And I think the U.S. did it. And, you know, Netherlands is good, man. And everyone in this round of 16 is a really good national team. And, I've been, I've just been fully engulfed in this in the World Cup. I'm loving it, man. And I've made it clear I'm not a knowledgeable soccer guy. I don't pretend to be. I'm not going to tell you. I'm not going to present myself as if I've been watching soccer all my life. I watch soccer basically like, you know, every 2 years for the World Cup for you know, men and women, and then in the summer games, right? So. It's just something that I get excited about when there is a sports competition that has clear, you know, defined rules and a setup that you can't argue. Whoever wins this, you cannot argue. Now, you might be able to argue about some calls or some offsides or, you know, a couple little ticky-tack things as far as officiating goes. But the fact is they're going to decide this on a field. And you win, you get to move on. You don't, you don't. And I'll follow any sport that has a setup like that. So I've been just totally entrenched in this, man. And you know, I think this is a real positive. You know, the next World Cup is here in the United States. I think this is an opportunity I'm happy that we made it out of the group stage. And while we didn't, you know, advance deep, it's just, you know, it's been a process for us. There's no excuse for the United States of America not to be in consideration with, let's say, the top, you know, 7 to 10 teams. Okay, we should be as good as the Netherlands. We should be as good as Portugal. We have the resources, and we take our sports way too seriously to not be more competitive. I think we're getting there, buddy. I just we need another generation, another influx of young people who choose soccer. We only have such a quota of, you know, we only got so many Deion Sanders, right, that are in the United States of America. He got to choose football. You know, Kyler Murray could have played baseball or football. He chose football, you know, and on, there's just a lot of really good athletes that if they chose to play soccer, they would be really good. But, you know, they chose to play basketball or something or baseball instead, right? And so we just need a few more kids that of our elite physical capabilities, right, the elite physical talents in this country to choose the soccer path. And then I think we're there at that point then, you know, and we just need a little bit more and we'll be in contention to win one of these things. And I'm happy with what they did, man. And like I said, I think they did the best they could, and I appreciate the effort.
Yeah, I think that so could we be in the top, you know, 7-8 teams? Yes. Will we be? I think that's really a choice, and it really comes down to a whole bunch of individual choices as to whether, you know, as a percentage more of the athletes go into soccer or not. It always amazes me, man. You go to any park. I've been around the country, different places, and I go to any park pretty much, especially, and there are so many kids playing soccer. As many, if not more, than like I see on basketball courts or baseball diamonds. But, and I know professional soccer has made progress in the U.S., and I think it will continue to, but it's just not there as it is in other places yet. More power if it does become that way. You know what? I think that sports are exciting. I think that, as we've talked about, they're a great thing that brings people together. And so if it happens in soccer, great.
I'll tell you, since we're on the soccer kick right now, it is a cool, styles make fights, right? What TCU is going to bring to the table against Michigan is interesting. You know, when Oklahoma State plays Texas, it's interesting, right? What Utah is doing, their brand of football. When Utah plays USC, I like it, man. I mean, these are two different teams. You know, they do different things well. And they approach the game, but both can win. You know, but either one of these styles can win. You can be a ground and pound guy or a heavy on the wrestling end of things and fight a guy who's a world class striker. And either one of you can win that fight. It depends, you know, which one does his thing better and prevents the other guy from doing his thing better, right? He wants to USC wants to throw it and run it and wide open and run, and Utah wants to keep it in the trenches, and which team gets to impose their will on the other. And in soccer, or football, it is it's great because different nations approach their strategy differently, right? I don't know if I want to use my get off my lawn on this, but Spain is the one, and they got booted out, and I was happy to see it, because I'll tell you what, man, I watched every match. A couple of them I watched in fast forward through the group stages and stuff, but in this round of 16, I watched every match, and Spain is just brutal to watch, dude. It's miserable, man. I watched Brazil, and there's just a lot of excitement, you know, a lot of chances. And Spain is just, it's like, I'm not even sure why they play the game, to be honest. You might as well just go straight to penalty kicks, you guys. Like, just this passing back and forth, this, like, keep away that they play in their own end. You know, they got four guys, they spend the whole game just passing the ball back and forth to each other, you know, with not even making an attempt at scoring. And it's just boring to watch. So, and they got what they deserve, man. You know what? You want to play this tight brand and you know, milk clock and hold the ball but never try to score, and you're just trying to frustrate the other team and all the viewers watching at home. Sweet, get out of here, dude. Get off my lawn, Spain. Get out of the tournament while you're at it, because I'd rather see Portugal and Brazil and Netherlands and some teams that are actually trying to put some offense out there, man.
All right. I don't even have enough knowledge to disagree or agree with you, although I've heard that about when I listened to some commentary about Spain. I said it last time we talked about soccer. I don't know a lot about it, and I have yet to find really great radio people. I'm sure they exist. Before we wrap it up, and I'm not going to hold you to this yet because we've got several weeks before both of these things, but it's December. So two last questions for you, and then I'll give my picks. Who are you taking to win the Super Bowl and the college football championship today? You can change as we get closer, but if you had to pick today, who are your picks?
The Buffalo Bills. I'm not changing that, man. Short of an injury or some new information coming to light, I understand that they kind of had some struggles and haven't looked as dominant as maybe we would like them to look. But the Buffalo Bills are the best team in football, in my opinion. They play offense. They play defense. They're bringing James Cook in now. I just think they're a team on the mission, and they might have got – this is kind of what you see sometimes, man. NFL is such a long season. It's such a grind. And, they had some scheduling problems. They lost a home game, and – they didn't lose that game, but all of that just kind of jimmies your schedule up a little bit, and I think they, they won that big game against Kansas City at Arrowhead, and, it's not strange for a really good team to kind of stub their toe along the way in the NFL, I'm not changing my mind. I just think they're the best team in football. I think in any one game, I would pick them over. There's plenty of other good teams, man. I love what the Bengals are doing. Obviously, the Chiefs are amazing. The Eagles, I actually went out to dinner and asked everyone at the table of the guys. It was pretty funny, dude. It turned into like a junior high dance, dude. So, everyone walks in with their, wives and girlfriends and everything. And we all meet at the bar. We're having a dinner out last night and a bunch of couples showed up. So everyone walks in with their wife and girlfriend and they're standing next to them when we're giving all our hugs and good to see yous and stuff. And then I got to give my props to Angie. She was amazing, dude. Like, I didn't even see her get up. So, the conversation came up about the Raiders, and they're not mathematically out of it. And, oh, you got to be kidding me, dude. The Raiders are done. And then all of a sudden I looked up, and Angie was just gone. And then I looked, and all the girls were sitting at one table, and all the boys were sitting at the other. And we had totally separated by gender. And I don't know what they were talking about, but we were talking football. And Angie, my girlfriend's, she snuck out like super suave style, dude. I didn't even see her get up, but she knows when once that conversation starts, she just like exit stage right, like real quietly, and then I never see her again. But they all picked the Eagles.
Were you guys passing notes to each other and saying, "Do you think she likes me?"
It was pretty funny to see. I pointed it out at one point. I was like, "Hey, look what happened to her!" Like a junior high dance. All of a sudden, all the guys were like, "Oh shit, my wife's gone too." Oh, they're all over there. Like we didn't even notice, but everyone, I went man to man, and every single dude. There was one Chiefs and five Eagles. At one point I was asked, like, who do you like? I said, I'm the Bills, dude. I'm on the Bills. I think the Bills are winning the Super Bowl. So anyway, that's my pick there in the NFL. And believe me, I understand, the Cowboys are looking better. The Chiefs are awesome. Like I said, the Bengals are coming on and look real formidable. And they were in the Super Bowl last year. There's a lot of good teams. And obviously the Eagles have been great all year. And they play a brand of football that is really solid. Travels, they won't need to, but if they did, it travels. My fear with the Eagles is, as a franchise, they've been there, and some of the guys on that team even have. But really, the core guys, this feels a little fast to me. And, you know, Hurts has made this big jump. And the other thing is, I know they'll be in the playoffs and they absolutely will be tested, but I don't think that they're going to be tested the way the team that comes out of the AFC is. I think the team that comes out of the AFC will truly have run a gauntlet to get to the Super Bowl. And I think the Eagles, while they might be there, I just wonder if they will have faced the same kind of competition that the AFC rep does. So anyway, Bills would be my pick, and while there's some other good teams and stuff, that's if you force me to pick one, that's who I'd take. And then in the national championship, I mean, I'll take Georgia. I mean, they're the best team. They've been the best team. They do everything that the other teams do, with the exception of maybe passing the ball. I think I would take – well, actually, I would probably take Ohio State and TCU, Neither one of those teams, while they're really good at passing the ball, neither one of those teams have seen a defensive front like Georgia's going to bring at them. So TCU's great at passing the ball, but you ain't played Georgia, dude. And so, but they can run the ball. They can throw the ball. They just are physically imposing on both sides of the ball. And, they've been through this before, too. So those would be my two picks, I'm not really going out on any limbs there this time, dude. Usually I'm not afraid to take a chance, but I'm going with the two favorites, I guess, is the way it works out.
Yeah, see, I'll agree with you on one. I've said it before, but until someone shows, it could happen, but Georgia's king of the mountain. Nobody's knocked him off. And they have the kind of defense that can keep them on the mountaintop. So I'm gonna go with Georgia. Michigan's got a shot, but I think Georgia. And I think Philadelphia is. I actually think the Super Bowl is probably going to be Philadelphia and Buffalo, and I think Philly's going to pull it out. They are younger, but I think they'll have faced enough of adversity making it through the NFC East. And if I had to pick right now, I like Philly. I think they're really there, but Buffalo wouldn't surprise me. I mean, there's so many teams. In the AFC, there's at least three teams for sure that wouldn't surprise me. Obviously, Kansas City, Cincinnati, and Buffalo. Any one of those three getting to the Super Bowl wouldn't surprise me.
Well, and you're going to face – so the other teams that currently are in are the Ravens, Dolphins, and Jets. Chargers might be able to find a way. That would be a scary team. If they got healthy and got in the playoffs, that they'd just been banged up all year. But if they were healthy – had their whole roster available to them, I think they could be scary. But you're just going to have to fight a bunch of different styles, man. And, we'll see. I mean, the Eagles are good, man. I'm not saying they're not. And if they won the Super Bowl, I wouldn't be shocked at all. I just, you made me pick one, and I'll take Buffalo.
Well, all right, Chris, another episode in the proverbial bank. Going to hit save on the old hard drive and say thanks for another great conversation. Hope your week has been good and the next one is too. And thanks to all the listeners for listening to another episode of the podcast to be named later.
Hey, thanks, Kelly.